Amen. Four words that we need to be very familiar with. And thy will be done. Matthew chapter 18, if you would please. Matthew chapter 18. Sunday nights we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ. We've been doing this in chronological order, studying the four Gospels, which reveal to us the life of Christ, the teachings of Christ. And sometimes these teachings are in one of the books, sometimes they're in two, three, and sometimes they're in all four. And when they are, we get more and more insight into the truths that are being taught as Jesus was discipling his apostles for the apostolic age. And then, of course, the church has been being used of God to disciple believers of every church age since then. And so Matthew chapter 18, go ahead and stand with me. Let's read verse 21 down to verse 35, for this would be the next lesson that Jesus would teach in chronological order. And the Bible says in verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you again, and what a blessing it has already been just being in the Lord's house once again this evening. And I just pray, God, that you would continue to meet with us, and I pray that you'd help us to focus on the message that we each and every one need to hear. Pray that you'd empower the preaching of this message once again, for this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Last week, we preached on and taught on the importance of keeping relationships that God has given to us. And God brings people into our lives, and he brings relationships into our lives for a blessing. The devil would love to steal those blessings and take them out of our lives and take us out of their lives. And so we preached on overcoming trespasses and oughts, describing and understanding what a trespass and what an ought is. And trust that was a help to you, because we're going to continue on with the very same thought that Jesus was presenting to the disciples, that they would learn this so that we would learn this as well. In verse 21 and verse 22, it's basically Jesus presenting biblical forgiveness. And then he illustrates it with a parable in verse 23 down to verse 25. So that's what we're looking at here tonight. Verse 21, he addresses Peter. Peter came to him. And Peter wanted to know a number. Do you ever want to know a number? I can stop forgiving this individual after once or twice, three or four, at the most seven. Then came Peter to him after he had taught this understanding of overcoming oughts and overcoming trespasses, restoring relationships, keeping the relationships that God wants you to have in your life. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And you notice here that Peter's thoughts was on himself, not on his brother. It was on himself. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And then he throws out a number there, till seven times. Was it seven times in a day, seven times in a lifetime? Peter was looking for a number. If you're looking for a number, your heart's truly not in doing the will of God. As Peter's focus was on himself when he said, me and I. If you would have known Peter before Christ come into his life, Peter would have been a typical sailor. Peter would have been one of those hardheads. No mercy. You don't get a second chance. You cross me and it's done. You're an enemy for life. You know people like that? That is of the old nature. It's not of the nature of the devil to want to forgive anybody. It's of the nature of the devil to get revenge. Somebody does something to me, I'm going to come back at you even harder. But that's not Christianity. That is not what Jesus Christ established for those who would receive him as their Savior and want to live a life of Christ. So Jesus answers. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Blew his mind. Whether it was seven times a day, seven times in a lifetime, Peter had put that out there, and Jesus came back, and if you will, what the Lord is telling Peter, there is no number, it's an established behavior. It's a mindset. It is a spirit of forgiveness, which is a matter of the heart. Because he would end the parable by saying this, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts. You don't do it just because it's commanded, just because it's the right thing to do. You do it because it's inside of you. It's the mindset that God wants us to have as we are following after Jesus Christ and wanting to have the relationships that God wants us to have in this life. If you forget from your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother. And then there's that word again, that trespasses. Somebody that's gone too far. Crossed the line. Yeah. It's a mindset. It's a matter of the heart that changes when you get saved. You still have the old nature, but you have been given a new nature, and you've been indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God that's going to reveal to you what the will of God is. Yeah. And God's will is for you to forgive. Luke gives us a little more insight. Look in Luke in chapter 17. This is the very same event, but Luke does not present it in the very same way that we find that Matthew presents it. It wasn't up to Matthew to present it his way. It wasn't up to Luke to present it his way. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit to present it. Luke, in his presentation of this truth here that Jesus would teach, did not include using the parable. Matthew uses a parable that helps us to understand, and we're going to get to that here before we get finished here tonight, because that's important that we see the illustration that Jesus uses in the parable. But at the same time, this truth of 70 times 7, not a number, it's a mindset. It is a spirit of forgiveness. It is a matter of the heart. But now we come to Luke's account, and the very same chronological order now revealed to us in Luke's account. In verse 1, he says this, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that all offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." Now, we've just seen that in Matthew chapter 18, and we talked about that. We preached on Jesus addressing the all offenses. "And it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones." Matthew presented that very same thing. "And so take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee." So use that same verbiage. He uses that word trespass. And we described that. We helped you understand that's going too far. "Against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." Now, that wasn't in Matthew's account. "And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day," Peter, 7 times in a day, "turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." 70 times 7, it's 7 times in a day. It's the idea, it's a heart, it's a matter of the heart, it's a spirit of forgiveness. And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." I love that, because that would have been Peter saying, "Whoa, I was thinking 7. Now it's 70 times 7, and I'm going to have my faith increase if I'm going to live that way. If I'm going to be able to do what you have just instructed me to do, then I'm going to have greater faith, increase my faith so that I might be able to forgive as you would have me to forgive." So there's several things there that Luke reveals to us that was not in Matthew's account, but it's the same account. To forgive. To forgive is not a green light for others to sin. Just keep forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. That's not the idea there. It's to restore a relationship. It's to overcome a trespass, to overcome an ought. To salvage a relationship, even though there have been a trespass and there have been oughts in this relationship. God wants you to salvage those relationships. And we need to have the spirit of forgiveness. But in reality, the Bible says here, "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him." It's not a green light for you to lay down and let people trespass against you. It's not a green light to be anybody's format. That is not helping anybody to let them walk all over you and control you and continue to sin against you over and over and over again. That is not what God is saying here, that we should not hold people accountable for their actions. But what he wanted to maintain and understand is you have to have the spirit of forgiveness. Your desire should be to restore a relationship. Your desire ought to be to keep that relationship that God has brought into my life so that I don't have to lose out on that relationship that God's brought into my life to be a blessing to me and for me to be a blessing to them. You had no choice over the family you were born into. But God knew exactly where he was planting you. God has planted you in the church. It's God's will when he plants you in the church. You need to know that whatever church that you're in, once you have received Jesus Christ sends to you the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you, and it's the Holy Spirit of God will actually lead you and plant you in a local New Testament church, because it's God's will for every believer be involved and be a part of the family of God in a local, independent, fundamental Baptist church, if you will. A church that is preaching and teaching the Bible, as we've heard tonight, the testimonies, because it's God's plan. And if you're where God wants you to be, God's going to feed you through his church. He's going to give you a place to serve through his church, to use your time, to use your talents, to use everything about what God has equipped you with so that you can be blessed by being able to be used of the Lord. But forgiving, we have to have this spirit of forgiveness. But that's not a green light for others to sin against us. Luke records, God reveals to us, if it's a trespass, an ought, rebuke him. Rebuke those who sin against you. Can I tell you, you don't help people by allowing them to get by with wrong behavior. We ought to see this in the nature of children. When you continue to let them to get by with certain things, what are they going to do? They're going to keep doing them. And I'll tell you, they will even escalate to even more severe things. You let them get by with telling you no. Disrespect you as a father, as a mother, or the authority. They have trespassed against you as their parent. They have sinned against you because they have not honored you. They have not obeyed you. And you allow them to get by with that, then they will continue to get to continue to do those things. And they will even get worse. But when you realize, no. You don't speak to me that way. And when you do, you're going to get it. Meaning there are consequences to wrong behavior. It's not a green light to continue to sin against anybody. Yes, a child can sin against their parents, and yes, a parent can sin against their child, and yes, a husband can sin against his wife, and a wife can sin against her husband, and on and on and on. A church member can sin against another church member. It is not a green light to say that no matter what, you just forgive and forgive and forgive. No, there is a process that God wants us to go by in dealing with sins and trespasses and oughts. You go to them and you address them. You can't always restore that person to the same position. There can be restoration, and there needs to be restoration. But there are consequences to sins. No limits to forgiveness, but there are consequences. Take heed to yourself, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, even if it's 70 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The desire here is for forgiveness. but not without addressing the ought, not without addressing the trespass, not without addressing the sin, because there are consequences to sin. There's consequences to trespasses. Teenager might sin the sin of fornication. Parents ought to forgive. Other teenagers ought to forgive. The church ought to forgive. But there might be consequences of a pregnancy. It's not a sin in having a baby. It's a sin in what led to having a baby. Forced marriage. You're going to compound one sin upon another. How it's dealt with. Different circumstances, different situations. But the sin is not in having the baby. The sin was in the fornication that led to the consequence of a pregnancy outside of wedlock. Wow. Happens all the time. I remember back, a man divorced his wife after we tried to counsel, tried to help him not to do it. He divorced his wife for another woman. Several years passed. His wife had the peace of God to remarry. I believe that God's perfect will is one wife for one man for life and one man for one wife for life. I believe that's the perfect will of God, but it must needs be that offense cometh. And so when somebody sins against someone else, then you have to deal with the consequences of that man's sin. She had to deal with the consequence of that man's sin, but she did end up remarrying. His second marriage didn't work out. He came back and wanted her to divorce her husband and remarry him. You might be able to be restored and be forgiven for your sins if you repent of that sin, but you can't necessarily be restored to the same position that you had before the sin, because there are consequences to sin. Boy, it can get complicated. I'm not telling you I have all the answers. I don't. And you have to go by the peace of God, the direction of God, understanding what is the most biblical way to deal with things and where to go forward with things. But I'm telling you that there are consequences to sin. There was one man in the penitentiary. He was robbing a store, a liquor store. As he was leaving, the man got out a shotgun and shot him to where he actually lost his arm. They had to amputate his arm. In prison, he got saved. He repented of his sin against that man for robbing him, but he would have to live the rest of his life with one arm. Consequences of sin. You see, after forgiveness, if there is repentance, we must forgive no matter what. And there's no limit. But after forgiveness, then we have to address two things: restitution and restoration. If there is restitution to be made, if you can right something that you have wrong, then by all means, you need to make it right. Sometimes there's nothing you can do to make it right. There is no making it right. It has to be discussed. Discussed it is restitution. Restoration has to be discussed. to what place can you be restored? If a pastor messes up in the ministry, he can have forgiveness for where he messed up in the ministry, but he has forfeited his right to the position of a pastor. He might be able to be restored. He might be able to get back and work on a bus route or work in doing this or work in doing that, but you cannot necessarily be restored to the very same position that you sinned and did wrong in, because there are consequences to sin. But they are to be rebuked. No green light to sin. You don't help people by allowing them to get by with wrong behavior. They'll continue in their wrong behavior and it'll only get worse. So we find here that Jesus presented in Matthew to Peter is from the heart. It's a spirit of forgiveness. And there's no limit to forgiveness. And Luke, who was there as well, and he recorded what Luke recorded, and he said, yes, the spirit of forgiveness, but you have to address the trespass. You have to rebuke those who have sinned against you in the very same spirit, with the very same heart of forgiveness. Restitution, restoration has to be dealt with on an individual basis, but has to be dealt with. Now go back with me, Matthew. Everybody follow me tonight? Yeah. Matthew chapter 18, and then I love it because then Jesus gives this parable. And this parable helps us to understand so much. He gives a parable to help us understand Christ's teachings on this idea of forgiveness. Verse 23, he starts out by saying, after he told Peter no limits, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto. Heaven is the will of God. The kingdom of heaven on earth is doing the will of God on earth. It's likened. He is likening what he's telling us here as the will of God for all of us on earth. And he talks about, he presents a man who owed a fortune. It's more than he could have ever paid back. 10,000 talents, a fortune. Millions, if you would, and looking at it today, millions of dollars. In verse 27, after the man asked to have patience and would reconcile, he would say, I will pay thee all. I will make reconciliation. I will do everything I can do to pay back that debt that I owe. Just deliver me from the tormentors. Deliver me from my family from the tormentors. Because, verse 25, it affected his whole family. But as for much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. Now, this was, the law allowed this in this day, in this time period. If you owed that, then you would have to pay that. And if you could not pay that, they could sell you into slavery. They could sell your children into slavery. They could sell your wife into slavery. Now, I'm not agreeing with that. I'm not saying it. Even Jesus is not agreeing. He said this was the law. This was, according to the law, this is what could have done for his sin, for his trespasses, for as much as he had not to pay his Lord, commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Can I tell you, this man had so much that he was getting ready to lose. He's going to lose his family. He was going to lose his children. He's have to think about them being sold into slavery to pay this debt that he couldn't pay. And he just fell on his feet and asked for forgiveness with the promise of making it right. And the Lord forgave him. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Can I tell you where that man was at is where we were at when we got saved. The Bible says over in Romans in chapter 5, Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners on our way to a devil's hell, because the wages of sin is death. No way we could pay that debt. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Do you know you've been forgiven of more than what you could have ever paid? More than what any of us could ever imagine, the wages of sin. What we would have to do, and we had to pay it ourselves. What we would have to suffer. Yeah. So this man was forgiven. It's a parable. He likened it unto our sins and forgiveness. And then we find verse 28. But the same servant. You would think that he would have a heart of forgiveness. You would think that this man is going around looking for who he could make right things with and forgive and do everything, have a spirit, a heart, but not so. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, which would have been pennies to the dollar over what he would have owed. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and did the same thing and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all of it. I'll make right. I'll make restitution. I'll do whatever I can. I'm asking you to forgive me. And he would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Could you imagine being that man? If we're not careful, at any time, any one of us can be that man. We stop and think about what Christ has done for us. Undeserving. How could we be that man? How can you fail to forgive someone else after we have been forgiven of so much? And that's the lesson. So Jesus is presenting to Peter. Peter, how could you even put a limit on it? How could you be thinking about numbers when you realize what I've done for you? Ephesians in chapter 4, and I'm getting ready to close here tonight. Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 30, it says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed with the day, until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's it right there in a nutshell. That is what Jesus was getting across to the apostles. And he said, this is what I want you to follow after. This is the heart that I want you to have. It's the very heartbeat of God. Don't allow verse 31, the things in verse 31, to keep you from forgiveness, bitterness, wrath. I'm so mad at him, I could never forgive him. Really. Anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Don't allow the devil to use those things to keep you from having a spirit of forgiveness, a heart that's willing to say, I love you, you're my brother, you're my sister, Let's make this relationship work. Let's fight for this relationship. It's one that God wants us to have. Let's make it work. If Jesus could forgive me, who am I not to forgive you? That's where it's at. See, if we fail to forgive as Christ would have us to forgive, there is judgment. In verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. When you fail to forgive, you will grieve the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you, and that will take away your peace. That'll take away a joy that you can only have when you're right with God. To be right with God, you got to be right with your relationships in your life. Yeah. Hebrews, I'll close here with this in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 14, the Bible says this, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Don't let an unforgiving spirit defile you, take away your joy, take away your peace. This parable was all about Jesus presenting to Peter a spirit, a heart, a forgiveness. And then no doubt Luke revealing to us, it's not a green light to let people sin against us, but it's something that we must do to restore relationships that God wants us to have. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Put him back in prison. He would have to now deal with his sins, pay the consequences because he failed to forgive as God had forgiven him. Let's not fail in forgiveness. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Powerful truth. It has to be understood if we are going to have right relationships in life. And God wants you to have right relationships. God has brought people into our lives so that we can be blessed in our relationships of life. We must understand forgiveness. Biblical forgiveness. Father, we bow before you now. We again love you and thank you for the truth of your word and what teachings that we can follow after because you record them for us to learn. Help us that we can have the relationships that you want us to have and the blessings associated with them in our lives. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.